Hello, operatives. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Jason.
And I'm Sean, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grimdark, terrible universe. In this episode, we've got another special guest, John from Can You Roll a Crit? John's a fantastic tournament player and runs the superb Can You Roll a Crit YouTube channel and podcast. How will he get on with our guest questions? There's only one way to find out. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's great to finally be on.
Hold on a second. What's happening? You're a tournament player. Surely you can't like narrative. That would be wrong. And you can't like both, surely.
Oh, yes. I have finally opened my eyes to it. So, and I think you can, to the shock of a lot of people.
People wouldn't believe it. Wouldn't believe it. Anyway, we're so chuffed to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Been a big fan of your channel for, well, last couple of years, so thanks very much.
No, thanks. It's great to be on. Happy to be on, place I've never been on before, so it's great. And yeah, I think it's good to be finally on Once Upon a Kill Team. So
here we are. And we start off, as we always do, with our good old hobby corner. And I think everyone's been pretty busy. But it might just have been a long time since we last recorded, so we'll see. Jason, what have you been up to?
Well, bad news. I've been painting loads of stuff, but none of it's been Kill Team. I'm afraid I've got to put my sad face on and come to another episode saying I've still not painted the Chaos Cult team.
I think you're putting them off at this point.
I know, but it's 23 models. It's 23 for one team. That's too many.
And how many more have you painted while not painting 23 models?
I've painted something completely different. I've been doing my Blitzball teams. So I did the Elf team, which in a way was trying to test out a colour scheme. I've got a nice bright magenta, which I'm hoping to use for the Chaos Cult as my Slaanesh Cult. And then today I've been doing some Imperial Nobles. So this works great on a podcast, but here's an Imperial Noble miniature for those. If you like an ostrich plume, these are the guys for you. In a nice pink and blue.
Fantastic.
But I promise, I vow to our listeners that I will be cracking on with the Chaos Cult team next. And then just to give you a sneaky preview, I've just pulled the trigger on ordering loads of I don't even know if you'll approve of this, John, but I've ordered loads of Orc Storm Boys, which I plan to proxy as a Harlequin Void Dancer troop.
Okay. That works.
just you know, squint a bit and it goes.
Is this going to be your version of the Red Arrows, where their coordinated flight is their version of the Seyduth?
Ooh, now that's a good one. I was going to do the killer clowns, but right into the show if you had some ideas for me. Anyway, that's what I've got in the pipeline. I think John, what have you been up to? You must have every team painted by now, surely.
Actually, yeah. I mean, at first it was no, but it's like, I did a video, I think, just after Christmas or just before. No, it was sometime last year. But basically, I realized I'd painted most of the Season 1 kill teams. No, I think it was in January. And at the moment, the only kill teams I have left to paint are, not Wormblade, Warp Coven.
Mm-hmm.
I've halfway painted Elustian Starstriders because I'm slap-chopping them. So I just actually need to paint them. Like, they're all slap-chop primed, so they actually just need contrast. And then I still need to paint my Kazakin and Inquisition. But I think after that, I've done every other kill team. So
One of my favorite stages of the models is the dry brush on top of a black primer. That's one of my, and I go and ruin it with coloured paint, but I love it. I love the dry brush just picking out all the little details and everything.
Oh, I actually hate that part because it's like, because I go from now black, dark gray, medium gray, light gray, white. So because I've got so many layers, it's just, it takes a long time. And it's actually nicer when I get to the contrast stage, but it's really slow.
Well, you've already done all the hard work by that point, so the contrast just lets it read out, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I've kind of just stopped. So, because I've painted a full 20 exaction roster, because I managed to find a second box. So I think I'm the only Kill Team player in at least the UK, probably more, who actually has two boxes of pure exaction squad. Because not only are they hard to get, but 40k players have bought them all for 40k.
I was going to say,
you need exaction squad in your knights, your custodies.
Deathwatch is loving them as well at the moment.
Exactly. Those police just get everywhere. But I'm also building a display board for them. So I meant to build a display board for my Hand of the Archon, but I'm building a display board for my exaction squad. So I've actually done it. I just need to finish painting the building I'm going to pin in, and then I need to airbrush the road markings. So I'm waiting. I thought I had my Tamiya masking tape, but it looks like I've lost it, so I've had to order some more.
Oh, rats. So, that's the worst bit of the project, is when you've run out of, right, and the next step is, oh, I don't have any of that. Oh,
yeah, because like, the worst thing, I bought those like 15 or more years ago and never used them, and the one time I finally need them, I can't find them. So just fun things. But yeah, otherwise I realize I've actually painted a lot. So I want to try and, after I finish the display board, get done with my, what do you call them? At least in Star Striders, and then try and finish the Kazakin. So I've painted all the Season 1 and 2 kill teams. So then it will give me time when Season 3 rocks around.
And you'll have a fresh painting table ready for them.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes.
Sounds great. Could I just give you extra respect? Because you always do full rosters for all of your teams. So, you know, the exaction squad, a full 20 models. So I think I can't be having with that. I tried to do everything out of the minimum number of models, basically. But the exaction squad was the team that I was most tempted to get another box of. Because that just...
You wanted all those shields.
I wanted all of them. This isn't so unlike me, because normally I'm just very happy to go in with the rule of cool as much as I can. But yeah, so I tip my hat to you for doing 20 for one team.
Yeah, I regret it, but it's like I've started to do it less and less. But it's just in case if I need it for the channel, or they become viable in the future, or they, like, it's just to future proof. Because otherwise, the one thing I hate is going back to something I've already painted and try and painting it again, especially as I kind of paint on the fly a bit in terms of like, well, I'll forget how I painted them, but also I like mixing a lot now. So it's frustrating when you have to go back and
you're making up the recipe as you go along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking GW do something like they'll change the rule on flamers to make them good, and then everybody in the whole of Kill Team will have to go back and find the flamer model or something.
Oh yeah,
which they, that would be no perfect. One builds anymore. That sounds really good. Well, so Sean, what have you been pottering with?
I've been painting my Deathwatch Terminators, which are, I'm likewise going to show them off again. Hopefully it'll focus. Please.
No. For the listeners at home,
anyway,
this is another model with a massive icon flag, which I'd say is a, you know, signature of Sean. If it's not got a big flag on the team, he doesn't want to know.
No. So I've got a Terminator Captain with the dual lightning claws, because that's the coolest way to run a space wolf. And then I've got a couple of other, I got the Leviathan Terminators, and I got some Deathwatch shoulder pads printed up, and I've just been kit bashing them to be just some real stompy hammers and shields. And I know last episode I talked about ripping off the flamer of one of my older models and putting it on the new body as well. So I've got a lovely, big old heavy flamer ready to hopefully roast people. But I've just been really enjoying.
I've just got a note in from one of the listeners saying, but there isn't a Terminator team in Kill Team. What are you doing?
I know. Well, I also have plans for that. I have been thinking that I could run my firstborn Death Watch veterans with some Terminators as a Talons team, with Custodes as the Terminators, and then because they're firstborn Marines, they could be Sisters of Silence with faceplates. So we've got the 11 wound Marines.
How horrified are you by
running
any
around
this, John?
With some Terminators.
This sounds terrible.
Oh, it's fine. It's okay.
They're on the right bases. They're all on the right bases.
Okay.
I've unfortunately seen far crazier things, so.
So we should come back to that. What's the craziest thing you've seen?
Well, it's like, you know how people actually can't find Felgor's Ravagers because they haven't been released separately. I've seen very abstract proxy teams that I respect what people do, but when you've got like the same model represented four or five times, I'm just like, okay. I've never seen like a goat that has also two axes five times, so I don't know how you proxy that, but it's just the interesting nature of proxy teams.
Well, you've come to the right place, John, because Sean did proxy that, and I don't know, how did you do it? I think they were different.
I did the World Eater Jackals. Every one of them is different and is a close enough facsimile to each of the Felgors. Let me grab who's recognizable. My death knell. My death knell is another musician, a guy with a cornate trumpet horn, and a chainsword. And then like for my mangler, I've got the Dishonored with the dual chain blades, but he's like bigger and beefier, and none of them. Yeah, I've got the whole team of 10, and not one of them looks the same because they're all representing individual operatives as well.
That's good, yeah. Because like my main problem with proxies when they go like, oh, this is that specialist, and I'm like, okay. The only issue is like three of them look completely identical. So
no, we agree with that policy. I think if you are going to proxy, opponents should be able to understand what they are without too much constant quizzing. Cool. Anything else, Sean?
Well, just one minor one. I finally, for anyone who remembers our earlier episodes from season one, my Death Watch kill team were running out of a ruined Corvus Black Star, and I finally have the Corvus Black Star. It is only primed at the moment, all kitted out, guns blaring. It's going to be in its pre-ruined state because I also want to run it in Big Hammer, but I'm very excited to do some like aircraft patterns on the top of it, and it's some of the biggest flat areas I'll have ever painted, so we'll see how my little brush copes with that.
And long-term listeners will remember that was your base, I think, in one of...
It was. That was my base of operations for one of my first narrative teams.
That's pretty cool. What busy bees.
That's me.
What busy bees.
So busy.
Okay. Now, this is the bit we need the guest to step up a bit. So, latest games, I'll plot spoil my segment. I haven't played any Kill Team games lately. I tell you what I did play. I was on holiday with my kids and we played Rummy Cub. That was my gaming this week. It was not the future is grim and there is only war. There was numbers and we rearranged them. So that was my games. What about you, Sean? Have you played anything?
Well, as of tomorrow, we'll be breaching into our 1,000 point limit for our 40k crusade that the Guildford Games Club's running. So I'm looking forward to bringing even more of my black armored Marines to the tabletop. And it probably means that my Corvus might actually get running out, which is exciting because it's just been sat in the winds unpainted at the moment. But it's been really, really exciting. I was really enjoying having like my Watchmaster run out with all of the veterans and everything. And then I got the Terminator models and I've swapped all that around. And now I've got Terminators stomping up and down the field. And in my experience, they've been shot off the field before I can do any actual stomping. But we'll see how that goes in the weeks to come. But Big Hammer aside, I also had my first Necromunda game. And we had an introduction night, and I managed to bring my Cult of Condensation, my Felgor Ravager proxies. We played with, how many of us? There was 10 or 12 players, and we all brought essentially two gangers each. And it was like a go out into the swamps of the sump and kill this massive snake. And in true zealot style, we ran out into the waters, consequently got killed and eaten by a snake. Over the course of the next couple of turns, dragged ourselves up out of the water. One of them, Hercules style, sliced his way out of the dead snake after someone else had killed it. Only to be knocked off of a pontoon, and both of them just quietly drowned in the water while everyone else was trying to chase whoever had the snake's head to the finish line.
Sounds like so a fun evening.
A proper experience into the setting of Necromunda. So yeah,
blimey.
Great fun.
Everyone died. So did you win?
I'm not sure there's winning in Necromunda. You just survive, which neither of mine did.
Okay. All right, no pressure, John, but we need you to rescue this segment. Please tell me you've played some Kill Team games.
So I've done 4 games this week, 2 on Wednesday, and then 2 actually today, because I finished a night shift in the morning and then went to play 2 games of Kill Team. So I've just recovered from that.
You're a glutton for punishment then.
Yes. And then I should have another practice game tomorrow and then another tournament this coming Saturday, hopefully, as long as trains are okay. And then maybe some more practice games on Sunday because I'm practicing for Warhammer Worlds. So I'm getting in more games than I normally do.
Getting the reps in.
Who have you been practicing with?
A few teams, but also Exaction Squad at the moment. But it's like just because they're funny to play because you can arrest people.
Yeah.
But a few other teams. It's just waiting to see what sticks, basically. Because the meta isn't actually that enjoyable at the moment.
What's the Warhammer World event? Is it one of their themed ones, or is it one of the big kind of clash of titans? Everyone's going with their best team.
Well, it's a golden ticket event, so it's their first 2-day non-teams event, and so if you win, you'll get a free plane and hotel funded ticket to Atlanta end of November.
Yeah.
So, because I did that for Nova last year. So, if I can do that again, that would be fun. But I'm mainly going there just to play because it's just like, as I said, the meta isn't great. So, it's figuring out actually what to take and actually what to have fun with because there is more than just winning. Like, you actually do need to enjoy what you play. So
music to Aries.
Yeah, especially if you're going to spend 2 days, like you've paid to go do this, you want to have fun for 2 days rather than just, I don't know, there's a difference between playing a game and just rolling the dice. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be 7 rounds because I think there should hopefully be like at least 70 to 80 players. But it's just... you know, there's going to be a lot of Chaos Cult, and it's just coming to terms with that, as well as Felgors and Inquisition. So it's, you know, as you said, you're going to play 2 days, so it should also be something you enjoy. But then on the, you have to balance it with something that's, you know, at least gives you a chance of winning. So
yeah. Do you know if it's open or into the dark?
It's mixed. So hopefully players, it's either going to be 1 day open, 1 day into the dark, or it's going to be alternating boards. So everyone will get an equal amount because I think the best way to do mixed is ensured people get even split.
Yeah.
Because the main issue is like I've seen a lot of mixed tournaments where it is open and into the dark, but there's like not many of one. So it's like one side is more common than the other, and players can go entire tournaments without playing on one side of those boards. So I'd like an even split.
You'd like that, Jason, wouldn't you? A varied day of gaming.
No, I don't like Into the Dark, so I'd be quite happy just to have an open tournament.
Oh my gosh.
That's because Jason really loves all of the other terrain sets that have come out and just how thematic they all are, don't you?
Yeah, though I'm not a massive fan of of Chownath, actually. So,
can leave Chownath to the side.
Okay, yeah, I'm contrary. Although I've had some of my most atmospheric feeling games on Into the Dark where it just feels like I'm in a sort of horror movie. Well, a couple of games where I've played things like Gellapox, and I'm just being, I feel like I'm being hunted. So it feels like, you know, on the set of Alien or something. But no, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, good luck with the tournament. And if
thank you.
If you do win the Atlanta ticket but find out you can't go, we're available. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let them know if that happens.
We'll be your second.
Yeah.
But thanks for not just immediately saying no. Appreciate it.
It's okay. I've lots of friends at Games Workshop, apparently. So.
Oh, do you? Well, I'm not one of your trolls. I would just want to add at this point, I generally do comment on a lot of your videos, and you've always been really nice and polite with your comments back, and I just, you know, it's how it should be in this world. Don't wanna annoy anyone.
Oh, kind of I do, though. That's probably a bad thing. But I've learned it's something I picked up at work. It's like if someone, you know, gives it to you, just be annoying to them back. Because then it's like if you challenge them, like unless it's just like pure nonsense, then I just shadow ban them because they never know. So I've shadow banned a lot of people. So the funny thing on YouTube, when you shadow ban them, they'll keep commenting. And every time they comment and interact with your video, it still boosts it, but no one can see it apart from them. So, like,
they're shouting because into the void.
Yeah, but some people have realized I shadow ban a lot. So I've had like comments of people I haven't shadow banned going like, "Oh, I bet you can't see this because you've already shadow banned me previously because you never replied to my comments." And I was like, "Well, I mean, I just didn't want to reply to your comments, so I'll just shadow ban you because you wanted me to." So.
Sounds fun. You're just fulfilling their wishes at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they did ask, like literally, like they physically asked.
I'll see if I can't annoy you a little bit then at some point, and we'll test that one.
we want to stay friends, Jason.
Oh,
do you want to go to Atlanta or not?
Oh yeah, I forgot that was still on the cards. That was our game season. Thank you, John, for rescuing that bit of the segment. Because, a while ago, we promised that Sean and I were going to do a two-person campaign. We were going to go through all the narrative games of the Morok set, and we were going to do the classic Orcs versus Vetguard. And we played a couple of games. We had a really, really good time. But there's been a slightly radio silence since then. But I'm pleased to announce we still haven't played any games, but we at least have a date, which is in the coming week, to get our next tranche of games in. I'm pretty stoked. I lost the first two, so I'm looking. My Wexmouth recon platoon is looking to get revenge on those cunning commando boys. So people looking out for that. It will be coming, I promise.
Yeah, because we've essentially played through the first chapter of Morok missions, 1-1 through to 1-3. So we're about to start on the second chapter of missions and start the next arc.
Sure, let's call it chapters.
So I'm pretty excited.
Oh, and in the next episode, we plan on doing the casualty rolls and battle honor rolls live, well, live to us at least, on the podcast. So you'll feel the pain or the joy, the relief. So we'll do that. So someone suggested that, and I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, hold on. It's mailbag time. I've looked in the mailbag.
No, it isn't.
There's nothing. Come on, guys. It's empty. My mailbag's empty. So just a reminder, do get in touch if you have a question for us, or let us know how your campaign is going. So contact the show at onceuponakillteam@gmail.com or message us via Instagram, which unsurprisingly is onceuponakillteam. And you may be read out on the show. Okay. Without further ado.
Is it time?
It's time. Okay, so I'm sure everyone listening to our modest output will be very familiar with John. Can You Roll a Crit? YouTube channel, podcast, tournament winner. But the real test is not can you win a tournament, it's can you get through the Once Upon a Kill Team guest questions. This is the prize. And I say that like there's a prize. There isn't a prize.
Yeah, there's no golden ticket for this, just the sheer internet points.
Well, fly you to South London.
I do love
South
some points, so I should be okay.
Tell you what, if you get thrown off the show, I'll pay for you to have a game at Bad Moon Cafe. How about that? That's the kind of level prizes we're looking at. Okay, nice. Right. Hopefully you'll get through this without any trouble. Okay, do you want to start, Sean?
Cool.
Yeah. So easy. We're going to start off with the generalist questions, which is out of all of the 40k factions, which are ever increasing, which one's your favorite?
Oh, so Eldari. So technically Craftworld Eldari, but Eldari in general. I mean, it used to be Eldar, then Craftworld Eldari, now it's just Eldari. But they've always interested me the most. They have the most interesting narrative to me. The models look great. They look better now they've been updated. And, it's just an interesting faction. And, they really reflect their narrative and the rules, because they're all specialisms. They were very specialized in what they do and inflexible, and it's just I just love the Eldari faction. So I do like Drukhari and the Exodites as well as the Harlequins, but Quaffworlds are my favorite.
Now no one else can see it, but John is absolutely beaming from ear to ear while he's describing the Eldari, so I believe him.
And I'm pleased to say, absolutely super cool. You've passed question one, no problem at all. Very cool faction. I'm with you there.
Good.
A little bit gutted that the Craft World Kill Team in the Compendium wasn't just a bit better.
Well, that is a funny thing, right? So when you could take 5 plasma grenades, there was actually a time where 12 of them with 5 plasma grenades was quite terrifying.
Oh, okay.
Because plasma grenades are free fall with blast. So some tournaments were won/dominated by 12 Eldari running at you throwing 5 plasma grenades.
I'll take it all back. That sounds great. We should get that. We should get that back. Okay. Now this question trips up even the best people. Which Primarch is the coolest?
Zalfarius. I'm a double cross legion for life.
John. It's a trick. You've been tricked by Alfarius. He's not the coolest. All right. Oh, it's a tricky one.
He is. He's got serpents and
the Hydra is pretty
weapon.
Cool.
They got the best badge. That is a very good badge. Isn't it Omegon is your fella, Sean? He's started the Death Watch, is that right?
No, not in this version of the reality.
Oh my
Jason.
God. Is nothing real? All right. Okay. So, right. You're on thin ice now, John. There's no way you can get another one wrong.
Okay.
We're going to flip. Well, flipping loyalties, but who knows with Alfarius. If you had to, which chaos god would you be worshipping?
It fluctuates by the year. But at the moment, I think I'd probably still go with Slaanesh.
So, seeking out that perfection.
Yes, yes. And not the other stuff related to Slaanesh as well.
No, I've no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
We're a non-judgment podcast. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. That's why I like being here.
That's the correct answer. Well done. You've recovered from a tricky one. That's good. No problem there. Now I've got a theory that in Kill Team, each of us is predominantly either a sneaky player or a killy player, as in you have a bit of a style that goes towards one or the other. Would you say you're sneaky or killy?
A lot of people would say I am very killy, but I personally am a sneaky player. So okay. Prefer, because even though it's Kill Team, killing is actually not the main part of the game. No. So I'm generally quite a sneaky player.
Definitely the correct answer.
Well, Jason identifies as a sneaky player, but I just love to roll dice, which normally leads to my models not staying on the table for very long. So it swings and roundabouts.
Sean's here for a good time, not a long time.
So we already know that you're a big fan of Alpharius. Is there a go-to Space Marine chapter?
Oh, yes. Black Templars, you know. They're actually my OG Space Marine army.
That's your logo, isn't it?
Yeah, so it used to be Stormcast, and then basically I stopped playing anything Age of Sigmar related. So I was like, technically, it should be a Space Marine. And I was like, I'll just be Black Templars. And it aligned with their Primaris update. So it's been perfect.
With all the robes and everything, of course.
Yeah. And the bowl cuts. They came back. But modern.
We didn't ask, but they did.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Black Templars, they're absolute nutters. Love them. Yeah, no, it's good. You're still in. You're still in.
Yep.
Okay, so we've got what's quite nice is where we've got now is we've got quite a lot of different sets of terrain to play on, but most of us have, you know, one we like more than the others. What's your favourite terrain to play on?
So it's mainly Octarius, just because it's like the bog standard. It was designed for Kill Team, and it offers the most balance because you get effectively just, well, maybe just under enough, but enough to build a full board. Like, I do like the other realms, but the only issue is, outside of Into the Dark, I prefer how Warhammer World do it, so you need to add more terrain to make those boxes actually work, because, like, I've seen people make great maps from just what's in the box, but it's too sparse.
Yeah.
Because, like, apparently, yeah, the box is just more like bare bones guidelines. But Octarius is, even though I've played it so much, it's still nice and orky, but also actually designed for the game.
It's one of the best looking ones as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of feel
it just looks perfect.
Yeah, and it just works really well. There's no, I don't know, the others have quirks, whereas that seems to be the almost the standard, the vanilla set, maybe, or something. But it's just a good for all. All comers. Anyway, I agree. Arcturus is great.
So now we know that you're a big fan of the Eldar, and they are the owners of the largest collection of pets, but which is your favourite Kill Team pet? Or if there isn't one that you want on the tabletop, which one do you think needs to be added to the game?
So my favourite current pet is probably one of the Croot Hounds, because they look very derpy, but in a lovable sort of way. Because the only problem with the Eldari birds, apart the Drukhari one's just an evil crow, which is fine. And then they've also just got a long bird, nothing really alien. But the Croot Hound, it just looks lovably stupid. So I really like that. But I would really love to see a Gyrinx. So it's like the Eldar mini Lynx. Because
the psychic cats.
Yes, so it's from the artwork with the Warlock, but also Yvraine, she has one. So just bringing back one of those. Or also an Exodite dinosaur, that would work for me. So
I've been eyeing up those new Seraphon rider models,
yeah,
with some Exodites in mind, but I've yet to pull the trigger, as Jason says.
Well, John, you work for Games Workshop. I'm sure you can swing that round for us. With...
Oh, yes. I'll ring my friend James Workshop.
He's... Mr. James Workshop.
He's got me on speed dial, so...
there was a shaky moment in the middle there, but I'm going to say you passed the general questions. Excellent. Good. Answers. Now we're going to get onto sort of more specifically Kill Team stuff. What cool. is it that drew you to Kill Team in the first place? What do you like about the game?
Well, the Warhammer 40,000 setting has always been the best for me. But then when I saw Kill Team, well, like, they said you can review it, and I was like, yeah, go ahead. And then I found it had crits, so that was perfect, because Games Workshop is adding crits to all its game systems. So they get very upset when I ask that question of why they keep adding crits to all their game systems at events. So, but I love to see it, so thank you, Games Workshop. But also, it's just I prefer skirmish games, because I started playing 40K and Fantasy Battle, then Age of Sigmar, but it's... The problem is the armies are so big now, it's really hard to actually get an army on the field.
It's
so
a slog, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I can do it with Horus Heresy, because I can just kind of get away with doing a more basic Legion scheme and like doing realistic battle damage to kind of, you know, get there. But with 40K, you know, the modern GW kits, while great, are very annoying to paint because they have a lot of extra detail that is no longer optional. But it's just nice having to only paint 10 to 20 miniatures at most, and then you can get like that done in a month or 2 weeks, and then you can be playing with that. And the fact it's just games are maximum 2 hours long, and it's still really competitive yet thematic. Every Kill Team feels like it's actually its faction, and the games are just very tight and fun. So you can really express yourself either from a narrative standpoint or competitive, depending on how you approach it.
Nail on the head there.
Yeah, that's very much how we feel about it, I think. Yeah, no, excellent answer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, No Point is amazing. I still laugh at the people, you know, I get where they're coming from, but the people who got upset with No Points and kind of rage quit the game. But they actually, to their benefit, made No Points work really well.
Yeah.
So. I don't think I'd be playing if it was the list building like you do in 40K.
Same. That was horrible. So it's good to see the list building go.
No, I really like the, like, it's just options. You've just got options, but that is like, it's a fixed team for the most part.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, I know you've been singing about your Exaction Squad a lot this episode, but which is your favorite team to play at the moment? Who have you been having the most fun with?
Oh, it's Hand of the Archon, always. They're the most, like, thematic team, because they're very Drukhari, and, like, they either win big or lose, but they're very fun to play. So, but the only problem is they're not great in the current meta because of who's top at the moment. But they're the team I enjoy playing the most. They're very Drukhari for me.
I've heard this from some other people too, and just we did a while ago, we did a user survey of funnest kill teams, and unfortunately this was before the Hand of the Archon came out, so we're gonna definitely have to revisit our funnest teams list, of which far and away the funnest team as voted for by the public was Commandos, just to.
Yeah,
who are still by,
I don't know, by a margin that was almost more than the total of the other votes.
Yeah, yeah, people love Commandos. They're back to being everywhere again. So
it's nice to hear other teams seen as like super fun to play. So we'll look to revisit that later in the year. Okay, so that was your favourite team, but we all have a team that we hate. Who is your nemesis team?
It's Chaos Cults. Like before Chaos Cults, I wouldn't say there really was a problematic team, but it's just Chaos Cults.
Oh, it's not, like, it's not even problematic. It's just, who don't you like?
Yeah, it's Chaos Cults, really. I didn't have a problem with anything else before. Even as someone who plays and has played Chaos Cults, it's Chaos Cults. Like, they're really fun, but... they're kind of just too much at the moment for the game. And like, they really work thematically, like excellently.
Yeah.
It's just for game balance, there's too many and they're too powerful. So it's kind of like the most warping.
Do you think that they should have stuck with Ashes of Faith almost being a closed box? And because they work against the Inquisition agents quite well.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when
do,
exposed
yeah.
to Kill Team on the greater scale, that's when everything else kind of fell apart.
Yeah, so I had a lot of people who have actually told me like they should just kept as a narrative box. And I think probably for the health of the game, they should have. Because it's very much not done good for the game. So, but I don't like that sort of like, you know, exclusion. But unfortunately, if there was hindsight and I could go back in time and like demand Games Workshop to do that, I probably would, because it would have fixed a lot of headaches.
I guess the nice thing for us is it sold out a narrative box, and now Games Workshop thinks that everyone's playing narrative Kill Team.
Yes, but that's the like the thing. It's actually a really good narrative box as well. I only realized after the review that you don't actually have to be Chaos Cults and Inquisition to play the narrative.
No, you can play it with anyone.
Yeah, yeah, and like the narrative content is actually really good. But hopefully, it means they'll do no more narrative boxes.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
That's our hope. And yes, listeners, we will be reviewing Ashes of Faith eventually, almost certainly in the next episode. yeah, no, good answer. Okay.
So we know Hand of the Archon is your favourite team, the most fun team, but who is your single favourite operative so far?
So it has to be the Arch Cyberite from Hand of the Archon, because he's basically a mini Archon, right? He's overly cunning, so like, you know, in the strategy phase, if you pass for your first option, you get a command point, so then it forces this mind game of where your opponent is either forced to pass as well or start playing stratagems. But then also, he's just very much like a perfect mini Archon, because he's not an Archon yet, but he's on the way. And like, it's just funny how it just overly scheming can still screw you, because you can pass and then your opponent passes and it actually locks you out of the stuff you wanted to do. So you like out-schemed yourself. So very thematic. And he's also got like a good combat weapons and dark light pistols. So
he's got
very
the whip,
flexible.
Hasn't he?
Yeah, he can take the whip as well. Yeah, it surprises people when I take the whip, because they're like, they don't expect it. So.
So what you really need to do is join some kind of London-based narrative group and take these guys through a campaign. And maybe there could be a side campaign where you see whether he becomes an Archon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
I'll send you a link. no, that sounds brilliant. I almost bought that box. I didn't really want to buy the box, and I didn't buy the box. But I would have done if it hadn't sold out by the time I got my finger on it. But it was the Hand of the Archon team that didn't think I'd be interested in. But then I saw how they played and. Actually, I saw your review, how they played, and I was like, oh, damn it, I'm going to have to bloody get it now, aren't I? And luckily, it being sold out saved me from laying out 100 quid.
and then Games Workshop, like, refusing to sell it as well, separately, like, even when Exaction dropped, so...
My money's no good to these people.
yeah.
They don't want it.
Well...
You have to be able to speak in binary to be valued by them.
That sounds fair enough. Well, congratulations. You got through the Kill Team questions. You are good. You're not going to be thrown off the show now. You're inducted into the Once Upon a Kill Team guest of honour. You can relax now. These are just the guest questions.
Perfect.
These can't be wrong.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to start off with a confession that when a new box comes out and I see that you're going to do a review on Can You Roll a Crit? And I sort of hope that at least one of the teams is a bit broken, just so I can see how angry you get at how broken it is. Now, I know this is... I don't want a broken team, So it's not really in my interest. I want the game to be lovely and we want people to play it. But I love seeing your reaction to a broken team. So
you live for the drama.
I may know the answer to this one, but which team on release had the rules that most annoyed you?
So it's actually not Chaos Cults, because even though Chaos Cults unfortunately turned out to be very broken, I can see how it happened, because it was just a thematic thing. So they kind of, like, the team ebb and flows as the power of chaos, and it technically, on paper, you would think doesn't do that dominatingly. Then you play it and you go, oh dear, oh dear. But it's still Felgor's Ravagers. Like, I've learned to tone it down a lot. So, like, the thing that surprises people is I will be very honest in my reviews, because, like, I get people who call me, like, you know, a shill, a playtester, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, if I was, I would not be allowed to do any of the sort of the stuff I do. But it's Felgor's Ravagers, just because, you know, they only took like 20 changes to be somewhat acceptable, and they still need more. But it's just that kill team. It's just when I try and think through, because I used to play test for Underworld, so I was like, okay, I'll think through how they actually did this thing. And I'm just like, nope, this kill team can't die to shooting. So I'm not sure how they got to this stage. Like, they delete a core part of the rule, and yeah, there's like of the game, and there's no way for you to interact with that as a shooting team. And the issue is, because we do have teams that are focused around shooting, like, I guess their general plan is for like a lone fire warrior to try and get two lucky hits in on a frenzied goat. And it's just that disconnect. It's like, even now, you know, people say they're fine, they're not fine, but it's just it breaks the core rules so much in such a way that it locks out teams from the game. That's when I get annoyed, because like, you know, Pathfinders aren't that great at the moment, and they already can't compete against Felgor's. Even Votann, like, I really wanted to know how they playtested that, because I was like, how did Votann ever beat the goats?
Yeah, do they play those two teams against each other and go,
I believe so. Yeah, because I was just like, yeah, this is fine. I've lost everyone. I haven't won, but I frenzied all the goats. So, you know, and it's just, yeah, so it's Felgor's Ravagers. Even now, I think, like, I went into that box going, ah, yeah, goats are going to be like a bit underpowered. That, and I was like, oh, great. They entirely warp the meta. That's yeah, lovely.
I'm sorry if I triggered you there.
No, it's fine. It's actually quite restrained for me. So.
Anyway, see what doesn't make it on.
I sort of am looking forward to the next one.
Oh no, they can't upset me now. It's Primaris Scouts versus Eldari. So either way, I've got like either Black Templar, more Scouts, or just another Eldari kill team. So they're okay for that, because I'll find a way. Yeah.
Now, I know your reaction to Frenzy, because I've watched that video over and over and over to hope to glean some information on how to play my Cult of Condensation, my Felgor Ravagers. You are known best for your deep and competitive insights into teams and how to play kill team, but what is it about narrative play that has you interested?
Well, so it's like, I wanted to see the narrative event, because I was like, oh, I've never played narrative. And by the time, like, halfway through the tournament, I figured out how to properly play narrative. And it was just a much more refreshing way to play, but partly because of how the Warhammer World team ran it. So they kind of ironed out the kinks I had heard about narrative play, where, like, teams start steamrolling each other. Like, there was this feared build of, you know, Nurgle Legionnaires who just ignored all damage. But because the way they did it is they limited what rare equipment you could get, and they actually didn't reward you for winning. You got more rewards for actually, you know, dying and losing, but also like just following the mission, like just doing your own narrative. And it was just fun, like actually playing a story, because the narrative missions are really good. And the thing about Into the Dark is the narrative missions are a lot more fun, in my opinion, than the competitive missions, because they're like, yeah, they're like, it's asymmetrical deployment, it's more interesting, you've got more stuff to do, and it's not just corridors with rooms. So it was really fun because I haven't played it before. And now I've gotten the gist. Like, unfortunately, there was still some loopholes people abused.
Of
like
course.
The infinitely dashing Corsair Grenadier with the Shade Runner. So I think I saw someone do 4 dashes and a move and then grenaded someone. No, they couldn't do that. They did it in 1 turn and then they grenaded someone. But it was just really fun, mainly due to how Warhammer World like refined it. And it was just like telling a story because I was like, next time I'd go. Because I brought my hand to the Archon because I was like, this is my full kill team.
Yeah.
But then I realized it's better just to build a kill team for the event like you would in Necromunda for a campaign.
Yeah.
Because there was like lots of things. There was like a player, I think playing Vetguard, who was just going around exploring. So he's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just looking, right? Unfortunately, he had episodes where he would get too close and accidentally turn on his guns and then get wiped out. But for the most part, he would explore. I almost got into a pact with the Khorne Legionnaires and the Felgors, who wanted to make sure everyone died in the final mission. So one of them succeeded. The GOAT player actually managed to use all the escape pods first, so and killed people from getting inside. The Khorne player unfortunately failed because everyone turned on him, because he's like he started saying these generators are mine, and then everyone turned their guns on him, which was unforeseen. But you know, it was just really fun.
Was that the escape the Galadark event?
Yes, yes.
So Jason's gonna be happy about this, but here I have the event pack.
Ooh.
Oh.
With all the missions and everything, so we can do a bit of a breakdown and go through how Games Workshop did refine the whole Spec Ops system. And were they doing Spec Ops, or was it the Expedition system for Into the Dark?
They were doing Spec Ops, but it was like it was just more restrained. Like the biggest thing was you actually got more advancements when you lost. Rare equipment was quite hard to get because they would have a vendor and then they would give out rare equipment instead of everyone just going and buying all of this.
Like Necromunda's black market, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So they made it really fun and balanced. Like the only thing I think they just need to tweak for next time is just the base of operations, because everyone ended up having like the free command point every turn and something else. Like it was just like everyone was like, oh yeah, you also have a command relay for the free stratagem. Well, oh wow, me too.
It means no one will forget what it is that they've got back at the base, which is what we famously do all the time. But Jason, I'm going to pass this event pack on to you next weekend.
Awesome.
And I think you'll enjoy having a bit of a rifle through.
Yeah, I just say, John, we recently had a bit of a one of our other user surveys on what people felt about the current state of narrative and some of the points you mentioned there about, you know, the accelerated, particularly for elite teams like Legionnaires can just advance very quickly, and then I play a lot of Horde teams and they don't advance very quickly at all. We've definitely got thoughts on how they can tweak the system and make it a bit better. It's really great to hear your, you know, turning around and turning your back on tournaments and going full into narrative. That's really good to hear. We're kind of a bit intrigued because I think Sean's played a game of Underworlds, but you're a big Underworlds fan, which apparently is a great game. And it marries fluff with rules, and I guess the question is, what kill team do you think accomplishes the same kind of, you know, mix of fluff and rules to for you?
It's probably Hand of the Archon once again, just because they're very much perfect like personifications of Drukhari. You've effectively got all the factions in there in the kill team, and like they really do just work thematically. Like they need to get kills to actually boost themselves up, and it's a very cutthroat kill team, and it's either win big or just lose. So for me, it just has to be Hand of the Archon. Like the good thing about season 2 in general is the warbands, the kill teams have been very thematic and feel like their factions.
Yeah, I forgot to ask. Did you name all your characters?
Only if I like them. So for the Hand of the Archon, yes.
Yeah. That's
and
what I
think I did
yeah.
it for my crew.
And do they have suitably?
But only if I like.
They have to earn it.
Have to earn it. Yeah. Oh, do I?
So,
yeah.
Oh, I follow the naming stuff in the book. So.
Ah, cool. I as soon as a team is announced, I usually have already worked out its background and the names of all the operatives and everything. It's very sad.
That's how no, I get by. That's your enjoyment, Jason.
Oh, yes, that's how I enjoy the game. It's instead of winning. See, I know, but I've got a good background usually.
So you said that you bought your Tamiya tape 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When and how did you get into Warhammer? How long's the journey been up to this point?
Oh, so I got into Warhammer just over 20 years ago. So with my Craft Eldari, well, Eldar at the time. And then it just kind of always continued there. And then I like collected Black Templars when their codex came out because I was like, it was 4th edition. And I was like, well, I do need a Space Marine army. And I really like the Black Templars. So go with Black Templars. But basically been playing since then. And then we started going to the old Throne of Skulls, I think 5-6 years after that, or mm-hmm. 7, something like that. And then it's just been like regularly playing in tournaments. But Throne of Skulls are more, it's mainly GW tournaments. And then when it came to Underworlds, that's when I started pushing, playing competitively and like traveling around the country. And then with Kill Team, I've actually started traveling globally. Play Kill Team. So
how
it just kind of
is that?
Boiled
that's
up.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah, expensive, but incredible.
Yeah,
very
true.
Fun.
Howard, I've got an ancillary question. If there was a World Cup of Kill Team, where do you think Britain would be? Or maybe England, because we'd probably play separate from Scotland and Wales. Where do you think we'd be?
So a teams tournament, but the countries are each represented.
The countries get very sensitive about these sort of things. But I would probably, I think the easiest thing to say is I would rank Spain first. That is the diplomatic thing because it's also true. I think I'd probably put England second.
I mean, I'd just say no tournament ranking. Players listening to this podcast, so don't worry about it.
yeah, you're not treading on any toes.
Oh, don't worry, people will still get upset by it. It's fine, don't worry. Everyone bands together when it's their country, so...
Yeah.
But I have the, like, unique thing because I've played in some European events. Well, I've played against some European players, but also in America as well. So it's like... Because I've also travelled... all around England to play. Well, yeah, England. But I would say England second at the moment, but it'd be very close.
That's
Spain's
exciting.
Still at first, though. Spain's still
that makes
at,
me
Spain's
proud.
Still top.
we're behind you. Don't you know? When you're playing the Americans, you know, that's we just want you to beat them. That's all we want. And then
I've only lost to one American. So,
well, next time. So. You've done great. Final question, and this is the tricky one, is so would you consider? Well, it sounds like you're already considering going to other narrative events. But have you ever thought of doing a campaign just for fun?
I have. The only issue is my schedule is really rubbish.
Yes.
So it's like even when we've had like a competitive league, it's unfortunately like I just can't commit to anything sort of that. But it's like. Warhammer World said they'd be hopefully doing a narrative event again soon, and soon could be 3 to 6 or 8 or whatever months. So I'd definitely go to another narrative event. It's just the issue of any sort of like, because we tried playing Necromunda and then no one could commit because once we built our gangs, then we were like, okay, let's organize games. And that's where it fell apart. And like, yeah, with Kill Team, it's I can do random weekday nights, but leagues are just another thing, especially. Because when you start traveling for tournaments, it starts messing up your league games.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the nice thing with our club is it is pick up and play. Like it's not like everyone needs to meet these a certain amount of games within a month. But it is like, who's free next Thursday? Let's go have a game, and we'll bring our narrative teams at whatever progression stage they're at.
But it sounds like you're at least interested, which I'll take as a maybe. So, you've passed. You've been a fantastic guest. You've answered all but one of the questions correctly, and thanks so much for being on the show. We absolutely really loved having you on. It's been a certain honor and a privilege for us.
Well, no, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. No, thank you. It's been great being on here. So yeah, thanks for getting me on.
You're an alumni
our
now.
Our pleasure. We'll have to get a game in at some point, because I'm already thinking up of an Archon with his Incubi bodyguard as a boss battle for your Hand of the Archon to usurp that position and put yourself in the Archon control.
Yeah, that would work.
Well, the new Striking Scorpions team might be a suitable swap out.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think it'll be Striking Scorpions. I know the rumors say it does, but Games Workshop historically releases, Aspect Warriors and Boxes of Five. So I have a feeling it's actually going to be Exodites versus Primera Scouts.
Oh, I'd love that.
But
that's still going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the idea of Exodites with actual dinosaurs. That'd be a pet. Now there's a pet. Oh, my God. Okay, right.
Yeah. You heard a little flying dinosaur, dog, whatever.
You heard it here first. The official announcement. You probably didn't hear it first here. Anyway. Next time on Once Upon a Kill Team,
We're going to be finally doing our long overdue review of Ashes of Faith.
Yes.
And hopefully by the time we record, I'll have read the book.
And I might have painted the miniatures. So, you know.
There we go. There we go. Two for two.
But if it sounds like we've not done our homework, other people, friend of the show, Nick, and our great leader, Sal, have both been playing the narrative. So we're going to be having them on the show to talk us through their campaign. So that'd be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun.
If what you've heard in this podcast sounds even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. For every subscription to the podcast, Sean will work out how to convert an Underworld's warband and proxy them into a kill team. So is that a different warband for each subscription? Just checking the rules?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's enough of them.
Okay, right. We look forward to that.
If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Ko-fi. There's a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team will always be free, but any help you give goes towards making the podcast better. So we do really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost. It's whether your Imperial Guard quartermaster has suspiciously given the squad an extra tot of galactic brandy before word comes round that a 9-pointed star has just been spotted on the scopes. See you next time.